position as pastors, I didn't really consider myself as a preacher. I remember the first time that Pastor Sam asked me to preach, I said, "Well, Pastor," I said, I'm not a preacher. And then I looked up the definition. It says to preach, you have to publicly proclaim or teach a religious message or belief. We can all be preachers. So I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus is alive and heaven is real. The message I'm going to preach tonight is called Filled Up and Focused. Now you might ask me, how do you know that Jesus is alive? Well, I was saved when I was 7 years old. 48 years ago, you can do the math. 55, my last birthday. My mom and dad taught me the love of the Lord at an early age. At the age of 7, I was saved, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to try this Jesus thing out. Mom and dad, they pray all the time, and seems like he helps them out. So I'm just going to try him out. Kind of like coconut pie. Tried it one time, and I liked it. What do you think? I'm going to try it out. Well, my family was real big into going down into Arkansas and went down on the creeks, and we would snag suckers. A lot of you may have done that or ate them. They're pretty good eating. All the guys would go on Saturday, and every year we'd have a big fish fry at the church. Well, at the age of 7, I didn't have an Ambassador 5000 reel. That's what you had to have to be a good sucker grabber. But they cost a lot of money. At the age of 7, I wasn't going to get one. It didn't look like. I had an old Zebco. I'd throw that thing out there, and I'd jerk with all my might, and I'd get a big old sucker on there, and I'd go to reeling. About half the time, the drag would slip, and it would get off, and I become frustrated. So I'll never forget, we were living at the college at that time, and there in the dormitory, and I got down on my knees every night there for a few nights, and I said, "Lord," I said, "I would really like to have one of those Ambassador 5000 reels. You know, if you really are God, you can help me out here and give me one of those Ambassador 5000 reels." And I said, "And what I'd really like to have is one of those big power handles." It came with this little, and I don't know why, it was a big heavy-duty reel, and it had the most sissy little handle you've ever seen in your life. A little cute pearl thing. I mean, it was terrible. But all the guys, they changed theirs out and put a power handle on there. Had big red knobs on it, matched the reel, and boy, they could really crank them in. Well, it wasn't very many days. There was a knock on the door one night. Mom and Dad didn't have any idea what was going on, but there was a young man there at the door, and he came in, and I'd got to know him, and we were pretty good friends. We'd go outside, and we'd play ball and different things, and he came in, and he had a little bag, and he said, "Greg, there's something I want to give you." And I said, "Really?" I said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, you'll have to open it up and see." I opened up the bag, and there inside the bag was an almost brand new Ambassador 5000 reel. I said, "But you just got this reel." And I said, "You go fishing with the guys all the time. What are you going to do?" And he said, "I just enlisted in the Army." And he said, "Where I'm going for a few years, he said, I'm not going to need it. And he said, I know you can use it." And he gave me that reel. And I'll never forget looking at that reel and going, "Wow, God, you are real." No pun intended. And then I looked down at it and I thought, "Well, you kind of messed up a little bit, God. It's still got that little sissy handle on it." So my joy suddenly turned up. You know, if you was going to give me the reel, why couldn't you just go ahead and give me the handle too? I mean, you're God. So I got it, acted happy, went to my room. About an hour later, knock, knock, knock on the door. Went to the door. Same young man carrying another bag. He handed it to me and he said, "Oh, I forgot to give you this." He says, "There's your red power handle that you needed for your reel." You know, at the age of 7, you could not convince me that there was not a God. Now, he doesn't always give us what we want, but I think for me at an early age, he proved himself to me. Knew that later in life that I would need to know that he was God. Since then, he's healed me of cancer. So many different things that he's done. I saw my grandfather one time. He was an old-time preacher. Saw him. I don't know what had happened, but he had a hand that was swelled up unlike anything you've ever seen in all your life. His hand was just terrible. And we said, Grandpa, you need to go to the doctor and see. He said that it looks like it's going to just burst. It was 2 or 3 inches above his hand, how it was swelled up. And he said, no, he said, God's going to heal me, and he's going to do it Sunday morning. I said, all right. There were some kids that had come to church there. Across the road, a man lived in a little white house, was a good man. Didn't have Jesus in his heart. Him and Grandpa were good friends, but he let the little kids come across to Sunday school. I always wondered why he waited until that Sunday morning, but a lot of times that was the only time they came, was for Sunday school. That morning, Grandpa, he called for the elders, I remembered, to come up and anoint him with oil, just like we did just a few minutes ago, and pray for him. Those little kids, I'll never forget how they came and kind of gathered around Grandpa there, and I wasn't very old myself. And as they began to pray for him, they laid hands on him. It was just like you took a pin and stuck it in there and let all the air out of it. Grandpa's hand went back down to normal, right in front of my very eyes. And I'll never forget those little kids turned and ran just as fast as they could run out the back door. And I thought, where are they going? It scared them to death. Well, they ran home. About 5 or 10 minutes later, they come running back in the back door with their daddy. He ran up and he said, I want to see it. Grandpa held out his hand. They were good friends. Never forget, the man said, there is a God. And he knelt down and he prayed. Never missed a service. I don't think that I ever remember. Was on the church board. Ended up being the Sunday school superintendent. All because Grandpa waited on the Lord. He knew that he was real. Filled up and focused. He's a good, good father. I had a good father. I was trying to think about what to speak on, and it seemed like the Lord just kept telling me to talk about being filled up and then get focused. Being filled up. Now, what does that really mean? Being full. I'm going to lay this thing down for a minute.
You know, we sing the song, Fill My Cup, Lord. Fill it up. Make me whole. This jar right here got just regular old water. We've heard everyone say, or I have, most of my Christian life, be filled up to overflow. That, until you really visualize
I think we've got to stay full, filled up till we're overflowing. I think if you were here this morning and the beginning of this service tonight, it didn't take much to be all filled up and overflowing. But a good, good Father, the focused part of it. Now we're filled up. I'll never forget long about this time of the year. Dad always had some seed that needed to be planted, needed to be sowed. And that's what all of us should be doing, sowing seed. Now, we've got kind of modern, and I've got a cedar goes on the back of my four-wheeler. And I flip a little switch, and it spins around and kind of does it for me. But I'll never forget, as a little guy, Dad would take me out, and we'd have the big sacks of seed. He'd get out this old cedar. It's kind of seen its better days, been hanging in the barn. I think an old mouse has been chewing on it. Dad, he would always tell me, he said, son, he said, it's got to be filled up. It's got to be full. You're about to take a journey across that field, and he's got to be full. But the thing I'll never forget is Daddy would walk across that field, and he would make a mark on a tree, usually with an old piece of rag or a ribbon. And he'd say, son, he said, when you start out, he said, make sure you're full. And he said, stay focused on the mark. Stay focused on the mark. And I didn't know what that meant for a while.
Thank you.
For all those of you who are live streaming tonight, I apologize. I'm not coming through the microphone, and they're having a hard time hearing me. But don't worry, I won't re-preach it all, just so they can hear it. But we do appreciate everyone that's with us tonight in the live streaming. If they weren't aware that Pastor Sam was gone tonight, he is preaching a revival down in Arkansas. But I was supposed to have done this before I started preaching. That's what Pastor Matt, Pastor Dave, Pastor Chris, all of them always tell something funny. So I was going to say Pastor Sam is not here, but I am much better looking, and I won't preach near as long as he usually does. So I know he's not listening, and so I've got a few more days to live until he hears where this has been recorded. There was a story I've never told before. Happened when I was in high school, going through a time that I was really struggling to stay focused. A lot of my friends were doing things that I was not taught that was right, but yet you kind of always want to be popular. You want to be in the crowd. For some reason unknowing to me, I'll never figure out why, but several of the kids in our church, the little church that I went to, decided to have a party. Where they decided to have the party was at the church. The pastor was out of town, and the pastor's daughter himself was there at the party. I wasn't there, but knew a lot of the kids that were. The next day at school, they was all talking about what had happened, and I didn't know what to do. Services at the church became, I don't know what the right word would be, but the spirit just wasn't there. Pastor got up and he asked, "Is anyone knows what could be the problem?" Said, "Would they come and talk to us about it?" I prayed about it and decided that I would go and talk to them. For some of the young people that's not here tonight, I hope they will get this message and listen to it just for this one part, the most important part, I feel, of this message for them. And I was hoping some of them would be here. But I told the pastor, and he said, "Well, I want you to come and talk to the board about it." So I went before the church board, and before I had time to speak, the pastor told the church board that I was there to tell the most horrible story, and it was just a big lie, and I'd made this all up, and that was all the problem. And here I was, a junior in high school, being accused in front of a board full of men. But it was a time in my life where I needed to stay focused, because not long after I was saved, God called me. One night I was laying in the bed, and when I woke up from a dream, I guess it's what it was, an experience like I've never had before. I felt like I was floating above my bed. My mom even came running into the room, and I was speaking in tongues. The Lord filled me in a dream. You might say, "Well, that's not possible." Well, like I've told you before, that's my story, and I'm going to tell it like I want to, and it's the truth. I knew I had a calling on my life. But if you don't think that God tells you to do something, that there's not going to be bumps in the road, then you've got another thing coming. No matter where you turn, especially our youth. I know some of them, they go through things with friends, with boyfriends, with girlfriends. What's popular, what's not popular, what's right. But you've got to stay focused. I felt like I stayed focused through all that. I talked to some of the other young people in the church, and I said, "Why, what are you doing? Why are you not telling the truth?" Because our parents wouldn't understand. We would be in so much trouble if we was to tell the truth about what had happened. So I felt like I kind of stood alone in that. But my wife can tell you, years and years later, the phone calls that I've received, the visits that I've received from those kids, calls from prison. They didn't call their mama. They didn't call their daddy. They called an old boy who was a junior in high school, who through the Lord's help, nothing that I done, stayed focused. They said we didn't know what else to do, who to call. Our life is spiraling down, down, down. We tried to think, who's the one person that we know that really believed in something real? Can you pray with me? A gentleman came to my house one night and he'd been drinking. And he said, "Greg, I respect you so much." He said, I won't come into your home." He said, I know you have a child." He said, "But would you come outside? Would you pray with me?" And I said, "Yes, I will." Several of you that are here tonight, I know you've had things that have been bumps in the road. God's got callings on your lives, and he's throwing things at you. Bumps in the road, because you know you've got a calling. You've got a calling on your life. But I'd encourage you tonight, every time you come to one of those situations, every time there's a bump in the road, every time that you don't know what you're going to do, focus on the mark. Focus on the cross. I think when we do that, the man that was on that cross has already been there. Nothing that we can go through has he not already been there. He gave me a song a few years ago. He can't save you till you've been there. You know, he didn't keep the three Hebrew children out of the fire. But he brought him through it. Old Daniel, he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. Still, they threw him in a pit full of lions. You can pray and pray and pray every day. You can fast. You can do everything that the Bible says that you should be doing. You can still get cancer. I'm living proof of that. But I've told you the story before. As he came in one night and I felt him sit on the bed beside me, I thought it was Julia. Looked and there was no one there. And in a voice, just like I know he was there, but an audible voice, he said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I don't understand sometimes why some are healed and some are not. I'll never understand that. My father was a good, good father. Had muscle diseases and aches that would cause his body to draw. Lived in terrible pain. I know the kind of life he lived. My mama, I know the kind of life that she's lived. One of the most godly women that I've ever known. Learning to walk all over again right now because of a brain tumor. Sister Kathy, I could see her over there the last service that she was here. Signing those songs. And I almost got tickled the last service when the Lord would start to move. There was blessing in her hands. She would praise the Lord. You know, we sing harder, Ed, when the Lord gets to moving. We get to feeling it. We get to feeling it. She got the feeling it in her hands. She'd get to moving, singing those songs. I don't know why. I thought sometimes when I get to heaven, that's going to be the first thing that I do. I'm going to walk right up to Jesus and I'm going to say, why did you have to take my daddy? No, I'm not going to care about that when I get there. First thing I'm going to do when I walk in the gate is hear he's going to come. He's going to say, whoo, what a time I've been having. Just me and Jesus. Dad, he'll have something planted. He'll probably have some fish caught. But every time it seems like I get in trouble, I start praying. I can see him up there sitting, looking down. Keep her full, son, and stay focused. Keep it full and stay focused. And we'll get there. If you keep on walking. If you keep on walking. You'll get to that mark. As a little guy, I could remember, man, that 40 acres seems like it's 5 miles long. Walk all the way across there. To the other side. But I'd keep on walking. Before I knew it, I was at the mark. And at the end of the day, I had something to be proud of. Because I'd planted seed in fertile ground. And I knew that it wasn't going to be too long. That God was going to open up the windows of heaven and let the heavenly rain start falling down. I'd get to walk out there. I'd get to look over that field that's white and ready for harvest. Well, I'll tell you what. I get so excited. We have services like we did this morning, the worship service that we had tonight. I heard a preacher say one time, if that doesn't stir your bowl, then your spoon has done fell out. If you're not getting excited about those kind of services, you just as well go learn how to play checkers. Do something that's fun. Because, I mean, that's good. That's good stuff. That's good news, Ed. It'll put fat on our bones. The good news. Well, I hope I've given you something tonight to think about. I hope that in the coming weeks, we just continue to stay on fire. All of us. Man, I think about, you know, there's churches that's going through things. They've got a little group over here. They got a little group over there. Things are going on. But man, oh man, oh man, what unity I'm feeling in this congregation. I've said this with our pastors too. Boy, there's nobody that wants to be the big cheese. You know, none of us. I can't wait, like Pastor Matt said, you know, for the next service to hear what's going to happen. The men's fellowship. We're going to try some different things. I know Matt and I have talked, and Saturday morning is kind of a tough time to get guys here, but man, the last Saturday, if you were here, the word that God gave to Pastor Matt about love, about being a man, it's time for us to step up and be a man. Stay focused. Pastor Chris, you were there. It's good stuff. Good stuff. Seems like every one of the pastors, God is just blessing them. The words of Sister Amber gave us all of us. I know what the parents are, many of them pouring into their children. Man, hope this morning. Goodness gracious. I couldn't help myself. She turned around and said, Pastor Greg, she said, pray about the blood. I come down off the platform, I looked at her. In her little voice, she said, yes, sir. All I could say was, wow! Where did that come from? That's our youth. That's our youth. They're focused. They're full. Pastor Chris has got a house full up there. Brandon, Kendra, they got them up there in the hall. No room to even get them inside. Going to have to get a bigger place for them. Why? Because they're focused. And they're full. They're filled up. And they're focused. Benaiah, Natalie, Shane and Tracy. This wasn't just something that fell out of the sky, bonked them on the head. They didn't have nothing else to do. I mean, the poor fellers got him a whole house full of kids. He didn't need nothing else to do. Working a job, chasing cows, driving all the way down here, trying to keep up with helping Tammy and Ed in the nursery and all the things they do. He didn't just say, oh, I'm getting kind of bored. Let's start us up a restoration class. No, because they are filled up and focused. Focused. They're going to get to the mark. All of us are. You know, we can be scattered all over, kingdom come. But if we'll stand, I'm standing here. Jim, you're sitting there. Shane, you're over there. And I will guarantee you that if all three of us focus our eyes right on that cross, and we walked at a speed that was calculated by all scientific measures, and we walked a straight line, we would all three end up at the same place. Isn't that amazing? Every one of us. I've told people before that I didn't know if I'd see them again here on this earth. But I knew where they were headed. So I told him, you know what? If I don't ever see you again on this earth, when you hear a trumpet sound, we're all going to meet right inside the Eastern Gate, because we're all going to the same place. If we're filled up, and we're focused, same direction. If any of us fall, there's going to be somebody come along, pick you right up. They're on the same road you are, headed to the same place. I was over there right before we started tonight. Oh, Julie always types out these notes, and I look at them, and I think, how in the world can them boys get up there and talk as long as they can and preach? I'm going to be real good if I can last 5 minutes. As you can tell, I've been a little longer than 5 minutes, but I'm about to quit. Stay focused. It's what we've all got to do. Stand with me tonight, if you would, please.